a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The prophet Isaiah, speaking in the name of the Lord, says, "Say to those whose hearts are frightened, 'Be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you.'" The Lord God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, went out with his people. This was unheard of in the ancient world. Gods had dwellings. They had rich dwellings in one place. And the god of one place vied with the god of another place. And there were wars in heavens with gods fighting among themselves. Great gods. The gods of the Babylonians were superior at times to the gods of the Assyrians and of the Persians and of the Egyptians. All throughout the ancient world, gods were capricious. They did not care for the people. In fact, in Epic of Gilgamesh, the people, humanity, are referred to as the excrement of the gods. The God of Israel, the God who revealed himself through Moses and through the ancient fathers, was a God who created the world and looked at it and said it was good. And he laid out for it the laws of nature, the divine law, and he codified these through Moses in the Ten Commandments. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Shema Yisrael. Adonai Elehu, Adonai Eho. He told the people that they were in covenant with him. There was an exchange. He would be their God, they would be his people. And he led them out of the bondage in Egypt that they had fallen into and brought them back to their land. This is a God who vindicates, who tells these people, "He comes with vindication. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf be cleared." He's speaking both physically and metaphorically. The eyes of the blind are those who do not see and understand God. The ears of the deaf are those who do not hear God. The lame are those who walk without God. But Isaiah says, "Streams will burst forth in the desert and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools and the thirsty ground springs of water." He tells the people that if they look carefully, they will see his mighty works. And we see those works anytime we walk along a shore or we walk up a mountain. We feel something. We see something that is not visual, and we hear something which is not auditory. James tells us, "Listen, Did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? God chooses his people because he loves them. He cares for them. He does everything for them. Everything that we have comes from God. Our lives come from God. Jesus, in his holy gospel today, is asked to cure a man who is deaf and dumb. He lays his hand on him. He touches his finger into his mouth and his ears, saying, "Ephatha, be opened." And the man's eyes were opened. Ears were opened, and his speech impediment was removed. Jesus heals his people. And the people say, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." We in the church, over these last few weeks and months, have heard horrible things in the news, not just about our political system, but also about our church. Our church that we love, our church which is founded by our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us the sacraments for healing our souls and bodies. He gives us baptism. He gives us the most holy Eucharist. He gives us penance. He gives us all of the sacraments in order that we may be saved. Well, some of his ministers have done bad things. Priests have abused children, and especially older teenage boys. And this is not something that anyone can be proud of. It's embarrassing for me personally to have to keep talking about it, but talk about it we must, because why? Because we can straighten out everything that happens between a pope and a cardinal, or a cardinal and a cardinal, or a bishop and a cardinal, or so many layers of institutional inertia? No, we can't. But we can make our own homes havens of truth. We can make our own parish a place of truth that Jesus is proud of. We can make our lives holy. We are all called to holiness, every last one of us. This is not my church. This is not your church. This is not the Pope's church. It's not Bishop Lawrence's church. It's Jesus' church. Jesus is the one who commands this church. We are asked to come to him and repent of our sins and receive his grace and mercy. This Saturday will be a day of special reparation to his Sacred Heart and to the Immaculate Heart of his Mother Mary. We will have the church opened all day long. Some have said to me, "Why do I have to come? I didn't do anything." Well, that is not the point. The point is that if we purify our own lives here, we can have the greatest parish in this diocese, on this planet. We can, because it's Jesus' church. He's the one that calls us by his Holy Spirit to do the right thing. And by doing the right thing here and in other parishes, good priests will call us all to become who we are called to be, the Church of Jesus Christ. So this week, as we go about our prayer, pray for the church. Pray for the priests. Pray for the victims of some of the priests. I can't answer for them. I don't know what they did and when. But I can tell you, it disgusts me. I want to cleanse this filth from the church as much as you do. So let's all work together in prayer, coming together as a parish family, coming together as one people, the body of Christ. Today, as you come to this holy sacrifice of the Mass, and you have offered to you the body and blood of Christ in the sacrifice, become the body and blood of Christ. More and more each time. Go out, be the body of Christ. And when people say to you, "Why do you bother to go to that church?" you can say, because it's Jesus' church. I and Jesus are all right.